Texas. Hello, birthday boy. Happy birthday. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, church, this has been a banner weekend. In fact, it's been a banner week. It's just, everything's just been so good. Rachel, you got those pictures ready? How about Carter first? Okay, so see that grand champion right there? Now, that's Reba, and she won grand champion. Wyatt run, he was the male, he won fourth place, but Carter got he won a first, a second, a fourth, and a grand champion. And y'all, this is the first time he's ever showed. So, for those of you who are new, this is my grandson, so I get to do this, okay? We're family, right? And this is your family. And so that's my son Toby, and that's Megan, my daughter in love. And we're just so God proud of them. And isn't Reba nice looking? So their sheep were Reba and Wyatt. Because Toby's favorite hero is Wyatt Earp, of course. Praise the Lord. Okay, the show number two now. Last night I got a visit from baby Elijah. And he knows my voice. Yeah, look at his hair. Isn't it so cute? So they said to tell y'all, everybody, they love y'all, hello, and they're just about to bring him to the house. They're just making sure that everything's good, and because I know everybody's going to want to get in his face. But he came to see us, and he's so sweet, just so sweet. But he's a little anointed prophet there, I tell you. He's a blessing. So we were so glad they dropped by. So Jesse and Cherie, we love them. We miss them. We're ready for them to come back. But there he is if y'all want to see him. Praise the Lord. All right, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah 1:19. It's just been a great weekend. We had such a wonderful time yesterday in the women's meeting. Oh, wow. We heard from Claudia and from Candace, and they had such great things to say. And then, of course, from Pastor Patty. And so it just, everything was really good. We really talked about a lot about fellowship. So we had a great time. And I don't know why Patty doesn't ever take us out to the shooting range. All the men get to go. They act like we don't have guns. I do. Praise the Lord. Okay. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. I want to use a different version. Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient. Right? Everybody say willing and obedient. You know, I think somehow when we got over here to the grace side, that a lot of people think obedience isn't necessary anymore. You know, it just seems like people are like, well, I'll just do whatever I want to do. After all, Jesus did it all. I get a free ride. But I think Jesus and the Apostle Paul probably agree that faith without corresponding action is dead. Carter, hi. How are you, my brother? Y'all talk amongst yourselves. Hello, my friend. Bless you. Haven't seen you in a while. Oh, good. I've been in his prayers. Thank you, Jesus. So glad you're here, Carter. I love you. Okay, so, you know, I just think a lot of times we kind of like, you know, well, you know, Jesus did it all. But, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the same. He is still the God that expects us to be obedient. Why? Because it's safe. It's safe. It's safe to follow the path. It's safe. You get there quicker if you follow your GPS most of the time. But with God, his GPS is always right. And so it's a better way to go. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul said over in Galatians 6, he said, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. Meaning, if you just stay down into the natural dimension, if you just live in the natural dimension and you just do what you want to do and what you think is best, that's all you're going to reap is in that dimension. In other words, you're just going to help yourself. But when you sow to the Spirit, when you sow to the kingdom realm, you get kingdom help. And so that's what happens when we tithe and we give. We are sowing into the fourth dimension, into the realm of the kingdom, and then the kingdom can manifest on your behalf. It's that easy. So what that requires then is just to be obedient. But the other thing is being willing. Willing. And I've heard a lot of good preaching on this, and a lot of ministers that I know say things like, I think it might have been Brother Copeland, I'm not sure, one of those guys said that he was like, "Lord, I'm being obedient." And the Lord said, "Yeah, but you don't qualify because you're not willing." So we want to be willing and obedient. In other words, love what God loves. Love to do what God wants of you. And so now that's a choice, right? Everything's a choice. Church, you can do whatever you want to do. You have a free will. You don't have to do anything except what you want to do. But if you want to do God's will, it requires being willing and obedient. And sometimes that requires you stepping out into a place where you may not have gone before. You may not have done before. You may not have been and done some things that you're going to do next. And so, but you qualify to eat the good of the land if you're willing and obedient. Amen. Amen. And so that just requires certain things. And tithing and giving belong in that category. You eat the good of the land because you're willing. Remember those two guys? There were a couple of guys that their master told them to, "I want you to go out in the field and work." You remember those two guys? And so one of them says, I'm not going. And okay. And then the other guy says, "Oh, yes, I will go. I'm going." But when you read the rest of the story, the guy who said he wasn't going repented and went. But the second guy never went. But let me tell you what his attitude was, because this will help you right here. "Well, not now. I'll do it later. Not now. When things get better, I'll do it. Oh, Pastor, when my ship comes in, I can help with the new building. When things get better, I'll tithe when they get better. Oh, I can give when," see, but what you're doing is putting off what you could actually do today and then get a harvest big enough, because everything you sow, you're going to reap. Then your harvest comes in, and then you're well on your way to having what you want to have. You'll eat the good of the land. But there's at the end. Listen, I want to say something, not just about offering time, not just about finances, but just in life. How about not putting off what God has for you today? Just following whatever he has for you today. Stepping into a new place. Wanting more wisdom. Wanting more revelation. Wanting to go deeper with God. How about that? Yeah. How about if we just went ahead and said, "Okay, yes." You know, that required, I remember what was required for me. It's been a long time now. But what was required for me is that I put down some doctrine that was false. Yeah. And so what do? You hear and hear until you hear and you know the truth. Right. And when I began to hear the truth, all of a sudden I knew that something I had been believing was counterfeit. How many bankers are in the room? Okay. There are four right here. Okay. What? How do they teach you to pick out a counterfeit? Keep looking at the real. Keep looking at the real thing. If you want to know what the real thing is, you keep looking at the real thing, and the counterfeits will show themselves. Amen. And so when you begin to hear the truth, all of a sudden you start going, "Oh, wait a minute, this is right." I mean, I just came from that place. I came from those churches that said, "Now look, bad stuff is going to happen to you, and it's God doing it to you because he's trying to teach you something." And that has nothing to do with scriptures. It has nothing to do with scriptures at all. Jesus said, "I came to give life and life more abundant." That's what he said. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God gets blamed for so many things that he does not do. How many times have you heard me say this? But you're going to hear it over and over again, because this is the message that people need to know. God is good. And when God is good, you know that when you're willing and obedient, he's going to take you somewhere good. You're going to end up somewhere good. If he asks you for a dollar, he's going to end up multiplying that to you. If he asks you to go somewhere and work on something, he's going to end up blessing the place you're in. Just being willing and obedient. Be willing and obedient when it comes to tithing, when it comes to giving. Tithing did not die out in the New Testament. We're still supposed to connect with the kingdom of God and give our finances. Amen. Father, we thank you for every tither and giver today. We thank you that the devourer is rebuked. We thank you for the anointing on their lives. We thank you that the windows of heaven are open. We thank you for the giver, Lord. We thank you that they're going to receive a return. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into their pockets in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters, maybe. No, all brothers today. If you'd like to give via text message, you can text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. You can also give online. You can also hand it to the Pony Express. We'll water your horse and send them back to you. Praise the Lord. All right. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Wow. It's just been a good time. Last Sunday, there's some people that got healed in our meeting when the glory came in here. And it was good for you, wasn't it? You had a good time. And then Pastor Patty had an experience. And she received some healing. And have any of the rest of you or anybody specially touched last Sunday when that glory came in? Anything you recognize? Anybody want to say anything? A few of you? Okay. Praise the Lord. God is good. Well, we had a really, really good service. And we're going to have really finish this one out good today. Amen. All right. Well, let's open our Bibles. We're going to go to 1 Timothy 1:18. Praise God. Y'all still here? Thank you, Jesus. Forget about everything that's going on in life. Forget about what you're going to have for lunch. Focus in on the Word. Get what you need to get from the Word. Because your answer is here today.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you could have done something about what's going on out there, you already would have.
Yeah.
So just let God take care of it. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. What that's saying is war a good warfare over the prophecies that have been spoken over you. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. In other words, they were getting off on the wrong doctrine, and the Holy Spirit didn't like it. Okay, now what we're talking about, and we started this Wednesday night, and you're going to need to go back and look at Wednesday night because I'm not going to rehearse a lot of it. But we're talking about holding faith and a good conscience. And these are two things that we need to keep in place if we're going to avoid shipwreck or running aground or getting stranded in life. Sometimes you get stranded, you get stuck in a place. And in order to move forward, you have to hold your faith and hold a good conscience. And so the word hold here is actually means to keep or possess. You possess something. Here's what conscience means. Conscience is that process of thought that distinguishes what it considers morally good or bad, commending the good, condemning the bad, and so prompting to do the former, or the good, and avoiding the latter. So, now, Webster says this. Webster says, a faculty, a power, or a principle enjoying good acts are a faculty of conviction. And then Dake, it's a particular Bible that we read sometimes, says, regard for fairness or justice. And so that's what your conscience is. Your conscience will guide your free will. You have a free will. You can do whatever you want to in life. But we all have a conscience, and it can help guide you in life, certainly along with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, but you do have a conscience. Now, so I read some verses to you on Wednesday night, and I'm not going to read those verses, but I'm going to tell you where they are, and I'm going to tell you about those verses. Acts 23:1 says, we see that there are people with a good conscience. 1 Corinthians 8:7, we see that there are some that have a weak conscience. Hebrews 10:2, we have some that have a sin conscience. Amen. And we 1 Timothy 4:1-2, there are some with a seared conscience. So there's several places your conscience can be. Some people have a seared conscience. Certain things don't bother them. Amen. So things that have been driven and driven into them. Now, so here's how this works. The people with the weak conscience lack knowledge. They just don't know. They lack revelation, okay? People with a seared conscience departed from faith and heeded to wrong doctrines. That's what Hymenaeus and Alexander did. They were going off on a trail and picking up some wrong doctrines. People that have sin consciousness or have a sin conscience refuse the sacrifice of Jesus and the gift of righteousness. They feel guilty all the time. I'm sorry. You don't have to feel guilty all the time. A sacrifice has been made for you. And it lasts through eternity if you've received Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are okay. But sometimes you will feel guilty, and that's because your conscience is saying, I need to fix this. I need to do something about it. But don't harp on yourself. In the old days, we used to call it navel gazing. You're just always looking at yourself, always looking at yourself. But certainly examine yourself all the time. Certainly judge your own self all the time. But don't stay in false guilt or just feeling guilty all the time. Amen. There's no need for you to do that. You can come to Jesus. He knows exactly what you've done. He knows exactly what you've been through. And the blood of Jesus is able to help you. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second here. So what kind of conscience are we looking for then? So we're looking for, and according to Acts 24:16, a conscience that is void of offense toward God and man, okay? And so we don't want to offend God. I was just talking to Susanna in the coffee shop before church. You know, God hasn't changed. Culture has changed. Society has changed. I heard Bishop Butler say, he said, I like to listen to him. I listen to him every week. He said, you know, in my day, it was Motown. It was Motown, that good music. I got sunshine. You know, it's good stuff, good stuff. He says, but nowadays, it's rap. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, Pastor, you know, times have changed. And he said, I know, but God hadn't. God hasn't changed. He's a good God. He was a good God in the Old Testament. He's always been a good God. He gets a bad rap sometimes because of translations, but he's a good God. But he hasn't changed. There's still some things that he expects that will work the best for you. So we avoid offending God, and we avoid offending man as well. And so one key word is found right here that tells us how to operate in this in Acts 24:16. It says, I exercise so that I don't offend God and man. That's the Greek word, askeo. Askeo. So you exercise. In other words, you train, you work on it. You work on not offending God. You work on not offending people. That's what we do. We don't just do whatever we want to do. We work on how we love people, how we treat people. Amen. And so we practice. Practice is a big deal. You have to make yourself exercise. So you basically practice by not being offended and by not offending. That's real easy, isn't it? Real easy. As far as being offended, what do we learn? This is so easy for all of us. You learn to forgive. You learn to forgive. Even if it hurts, you've learned to forgive. We learn to forgive people. And also, if you're going to operate in this, then what you need to know is you need to seek to know love himself. Because love himself is so empowering. It's so empowering to know how much God loves you that it'll push fear out of your life. And then you don't have fear of rejection. You don't have fear of what's next. You just walk in love. You walk in love and you'll take risks. You'll take chances. You'll love again. You'll forgive. You'll move forward again. You'll give people another opportunity to come along in life. You don't just, well, that's the end. That's it, you know. You begin to flow in a different place because fear is pushed out of your life, fear of rejection. And then there's this too. You allow God to heal the hurt. Sometimes I think we don't do that. We nurse our own wounds. Well, they did this. And so, you know, we sit around and just nurse that like a cat licking their paw or something, you know, all the time. But you have to come past that. You have to let God heal you. Yeah. Amen. The Lord has rebuked me about that before and said, you're just refusing to let me heal you over things. Just let me in. You don't want to, because we want to hang on to it. Yeah. We want to hang on to it. I'm not going to forget what they did. No, you have to learn to let go. Why? Because you've been guilty too. Yeah. Throw that stone down. Yeah, amen. All right. So I was watching The Equalizer. Queen Latifah, right? Okay. So her name is McCall in the show. And so she's an ex-CIA person. And so in this particular episode, an old CIA agent comes to try to take her out. Okay. Now, she wants to take her out. Why? Because she's mad at her because she says she left her behind to die over in Afghanistan or somewhere. Okay. So the interesting thing is that Queen Latifah saves her life. McCall saves the CIA agent's life. Now that's loyalty. She could have said, she came to kill me, let her go. Loyalty. And this is what she said. I want you to hear me on this. You're like, wait, you're watching King? Yes, I am. You leave me alone. But the truth is, she said this. They said, why do you want to save her? And she said, she's one of us. Church?
That's good, Pastor, right there. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
It's amazing the dogged determination the church has to correct one another. They're not like us. They're not that. They're this. They're that. We got to get past that. We got to get past. We're all different. We're all called to different things. We all believe some different things. But I think one of the good things we could do is leave each other alone and not to get on social media and tear up who's who. And come out with documentaries on why these people are bad and we're good. She said she's one. I mean, the girl was going to kill her. Well, she won because she's, you know. You know what's funny about stuff like that is that it's the same stuff over and over. But I just think she's cool. But, you know, she's cool. And so, but, you know, they always use the same apartment and they go in. Watch the nails, though. Watch the nails. But just the point being, what I got out of it and what I do get out of it, I told Danny this. She always wins. This is one of those shows where she always wins. And that's what I like because we always win. We always win. But she's loyal. And we need to be loyal. And we need to not be offended all the time. Amen. You get the point. Praise the Lord. Don't go out of here now judging me for watching The Equalizer. Okay, so you watch your behavior. That's what this is about, watching your behavior. You walk in love. But then if you do slip up, if you do mess up, you have a guilty conscience. And it's important to you to go back and correct it and then get that guilt out, right? Okay, so what do you do? Here's what you do. You clear your conscience. You clear it. Now I'm going to give you a scripture to clear it with. You ready? Okay, this is Hebrews 9:14. Yet how much more will the sacred blood of the Messiah thoroughly cleanse our consciences? For by the power of the eternal Spirit, he has offered himself to God as the perfect sacrifice that now frees us from our dead works to worship and serve the living God. The blood of Jesus, church, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. I don't know about you, but since I was a little bitty kid, I've been singing, oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. It's still washing. He's still cleansing us. He will cleanse us of whatever it is. And he'll cleanse you from judging other people. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you that you wash us clean. And listen, why does the blood wash us clean? Because the life is in the blood. You know that? Life. If you didn't have blood, you wouldn't have life. Right? The life is in the blood. And life has light in it. And light pushes out darkness. That's how the dead works get pushed out. It's a literal spiritual wash. And it'll wash out your soul because your soul is sitting in your spirit. Mm-hmm. I hope you just got that because I'm not going to say it again. Thank you, Lord, for it. All right. So the blood cleared your conscience. But I want to say this to you. It can clear someone else's too. Praise the Lord. Am I right? All right, because people can repent. And listen, you may not get an apology. But people can change and people can get better. And you may have to look from a distance to see how much better they got and how they went with their life and how they cleared their conscience and how they grew and moved forward. And you may get an apology someday, but if you don't, be satisfied that they grew. Listen, do you know why people church hop? Ooh. See, when someone comes to a new... Now, I understand God moves people, okay? God moves hungry people. He moves hungry people. When people are searching and they're hungry, they'll look for greener pastures. I understand that. But one of the reasons why people church hop is that they're offended at the last church. They leave because they're offended. Okay, now, so... A wise pastor will try to help them deal with their hurt, the critical attitude, try to get through it. And sometimes we've even suggested going back to your old church until you're released and not just, moving on because you're mad. You know, they have lunch with us and say, that last place, they just did this and this to me. And you're like, not going to be good, you know. So, and I believe me, in all these years, in 23 years, I have seen that. People will come in and tell me, yeah, the pastor at that last church, they just said something to me and I didn't like it one bit. And then I'll watch them do the same thing here and they went right out the door because they were already offended. It was already there. So they retained an offense in their heart and so they keep moving around. And so... Like I said, I know people grow and move to new places. But don't move with baggage. Don't leave, go when you're called somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, many times if there's no heart change, the person will respond to the new pastor and the leadership just like the last church. Amen. So, there's actually an old proverb, and I'm going to read it to you, an old parable that fits the situation. I think you'll enjoy it. Back in the old days when settlers were moving to the west, a wise man stood on a hill outside a western town. As the settlers came from the east, the wise man was the first person that they met before coming into the town. They eagerly asked what the people of the town were like. He answered them with the question, "What was it like where you're from?" "The town we came from was wicked. The people were rude and gossiped. They took advantage of innocent people. It was filled with thieves and liars." The wise man said, "This town is the same way." And so they thanked him and moved on to the next town. Then another group would come. What's this town like? What was it like where you come from? Oh, it was wonderful. We had dear friends. Everyone looked out for each other's interests. There was never any lack because we all cared for each other. If someone had a big project, the entire community gathered to help. It was a hard decision to leave, but we felt compelled to make a way for future generations by going west as pioneers. That's what you have to do sometimes, right? So the wise old man said to them, well, this town is exactly like the one you left. And so they went and made that place their home. You get what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
He invited those in who had the right attitude, who had left for the right reason. Amen. This is a big lesson, church. It's just, these are things we need to hear. Amen. The way to leave a church or a relationship is how you'll enter the next one. Any relationship. If you've had a bad experience and a bad relationship, if you don't forgive, move on, get rid of the offense, clear your conscience, you're going to have a problem moving on to the next thing. Some of you are glazing off. I hope you're still with me here. You're probably thinking about if you have any of those things. So Jesus said in John 20:23, if you forgive the sin of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sin of any, they are retained. So what happens is we actually preserve the sins of other people if we pick up an offense and we harbor resentment. We need to set people free. Think about what forgive means. Let it go. Let it go. Amen. Amen. Trust and forgiveness are two different things. Trust is earned, but forgiveness is just given. Amen. All right. So, we love. Love forgives wrongs so that there's hope for the future. And when we overcome offenses, we seek peace and watch for an opportunity of restoration, if at all possible. There's an old proverb that says that once a dog has been scalded with hot water, he'll even be afraid of cold water. I don't know if you've heard that before. How many people today are afraid of refreshing cold water because they've been burned once? How many people? And they all have up their walls. Have up their walls of how it's going to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Everybody still here? Y'all all right? Okay. So Jesus desires to heal those wounds. I kind of mentioned this in the offering word. Sometimes we just don't let him, but we need to let him heal us. Yes. Need to let it go. You'll be surprised how much better you'll feel.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, that doesn't bother me. Church, hanging on to something that happened to you 50 years ago, you're not hurting that person. You're just hurting you. Unforgiveness is like taking poison and hoping somebody else will die.
Yeah, it's true.
Amen. So forgiveness is a big deal. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for it. Praise God. The path of humility and self-denial leads to healing and spiritual maturity. It can't just be, what about me? What about me? What about me? Well, I don't like this. Well, I don't like that. Well, I'm not. Well, I can't. Get over it. Just get over it and move forward. Amen. Well, I don't want to listen to a woman preacher. Well, then just pretend like I'm just your sister in the Lord giving a testimony, and then you'll be all right. You can expect the pastor to get up in a minute. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yes, he is. All the time.
Pride cannot travel this path, but only those who desire peace at the risk of rejection. That's how we live. That's how we walk in forgiveness. It's tough on your flesh, but it leads to life. Amen. Now, love never fails. Love will take care of it. And like I said, have some faith. And so let's shift over to faith now. Hold on to faith. You need to, church, you need to see the connection here. Good conscience and holding on to faith. They're in the same, they're connected to one another. See, all of this that we're talking about right now has everything to do with overflow in your life. It has everything to do with your harvest. It has everything to do with you eating of the good of the land. Yeah. Because an offended person, someone who's harboring something, can't receive. Right. You've shut your door. You shut your door to spiritual things. And so the clear conscience part, you're like, well, hurry up, Pastor, get past that because I want to get on to the faith stuff. Well, this is part of the faith stuff. You're cleared out so you can use your faith. You can use your faith if you're cleared out. And you use your faith to have the good conscience. Hey, you could see that person 2 weeks later after they, you know, stabbed you in the back or whatever and you forgave them or did whatever. And you may still feel, you may want to growl for a minute. But it's a choice. Right. Yeah. It doesn't matter how you feel. You just choose. Wow. You just choose to go, no, I forgave them. Yep. No, not hanging on to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're just hurting your own harvest. So this has everything to do with overflow. So y'all know Mark 4. I hope so. And it teaches us, Jesus was teaching a parable there, and then he told his disciples what it all meant. But interesting enough, over in Mark 4, when you get to verse 14, I'm going to say, I'll look it up here. Yeah, the sower sows the word, right? So he's telling them what the seed is. The sower's going to sow the word of God, the revelation, right? Now, actually, in this scripture, what you need to understand about Mark 4, Luke 8, and Matthew 13 is this. Understand this. The kingdom, this is how the kingdom of God works. Forever and ever, the kingdom of God will work on the plan that of sowing and reaping. Right, yeah. Sowing and reaping is the way of the kingdom. And so Jesus is teaching them the way of the kingdom. Amen. And so now down here, when you get down into verse 17, it said, let me back up to 16. It says, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. So they walk out of here the same way they came in. So it endures but for a time, but afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are what? Offended. They're offended. And so what we see from this is, who are those who get offended? Those that have no root, they don't get a root. But it says those that would mean this, they don't have any foundation. They don't have any foundation. They don't have anything to stand on. They don't have anything to grab hold of. And so they lose the seed that has been put in the ground that would cause them to get a harvest. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? That, you know, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. That's how he comes. Okay. Church, he's not afraid of you. He's afraid of the word. But if you have the word of God that has the power to bring itself to pass on the inside of you, the word of God, get that revelation. The word of God coming into your heart, spoken out your mouth, has the power itself to bring itself to pass. Yes. Because when God speaks, he creates. Yes. So when you say what he said, you're creating. That's why you can say to a mountain, be thou removed to be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, because you're doing what Jesus did when he spoke to the fig tree. When he spoke to the fig tree, he launched an authoritative command from his spirit. He said what the Holy Spirit told him to say. So all words from God can, according to the scripture, prosper in themselves. Isaiah 54 tells us that, right? They will not return void. When is the church of the living God going to get that? If you say what he says, you'll create. That's so good. Praise the Lord. All right. So the person who's not stabilized or founded in the revealed word of God is a prime candidate to be moved along the path of the offended. You won't grab it. But if you have a revelation of how good God is. Church, all that stuff that tells you that God isn't good, wipe that off your table. He's a good God. The devil is the liar. You empower which of the two you want to be empowered by your words. Because God gave men authority in this earth. You have to remember that. You have to remember that. Well, you know, God could just, he's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do. God is sovereign, but he already said what he wants to do. He said he wants to do what's in the word. And what's in the word is that he gave man dominion. He gave you authority. You are a speaking spirit. And what you speak is going to come to pass. And if you're going to agree with the thoughts of the devil and the pains in the body and all that, then you're going to have what you say. But if you agree with God and what's going on in the Spirit of God and you agree with what the Word says, you're going to have what the Word says. The revealed Word of God is our foundation. And listen, Jesus said he would build his church on it. Over in Matthew 13, he said, who do people say that I am? And they were like, oh, you're Elijah, you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. But he said, no, who do y'all say that I am? And Simon Peter piped up and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. And he said, well done, Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. He didn't get that out of the flesh. He didn't get that out of the book of knowledge. He got that out of revelation knowledge that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus told him, now you're the rock and I'll build my church on the rock. He's not talking about Peter. Peter's not the rock of the church. Revelation knowledge is the rock of the church. And Peter got a revelation and that put him in a good place. The church is built on revelation knowledge, and that is the house that will stand, is the Word of God. This Word of God will keep you from being offended. It'll keep you from drifting off in the wrong place. It'll start straightening out your doctrines if you'll get into it deep enough and understand what God is doing. The house built on the rock is the one who stands through the storm. The illuminated word. When you listen to anointed preaching and you listen, you read a book or you read the word or you're looking or watching and listening to words that explode into your spirit, it conveys light into your spirit and you get understanding and you go, oh, I see that. I see that. Your eyes are enlightened, like it says over in Ephesians 1. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened. You're like, oh, I remember the first time I heard God was good. I was like, what? Wait a minute. I got to listen to this. Nobody ever told me this before. My mom had died 3 days before. And I thought God was just taking people. Because they'll tell you that. People will tell you that. Honey, it was just her time. It wasn't her time. She was 62 years old and I was only 30 years old. It's not time for me to lose my mother. It was not time. But we didn't know because we were taught that God took people when he wanted to. And we were taught that if you only prayed for people to be healed if it was God's will. But then all of a sudden I got enlightened to the fact that Jesus healed them all. It is God's will to heal. The problem with that is when someone doesn't get healed, they want to go back and blame it on God instead of knowing that they failed at the game of life, that they ran out of time before they got their faith high enough. But if we'll take responsibility and take it now, we're going to enjoy this harvest, the good of the land. We're going to enjoy it because we're going to be able to come through these places. I preach myself happy. I hope y'all have enjoyed it. The entrance of your word giveth light. Jesus said the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. These words are spirit and life. They're not just cold, dead words when you hear them in rhema form. Amen. You know what the sword of the Spirit is? You know, people say, oh, I'm going to church and I'm taking my sword with me. This is the loin belt right here. The sword of the Spirit is this coming out your mouth. Rhema words. Revelation words. That you can preach, that you understand the sower sows the word. That you understand your harvest. That you understand that God loves me. You understand who you are, a son of God, the righteousness of God. A victor, not a victim. An overcomer. How many overcomers in the room? You know, the Bible says that we'll go through affliction, but it says we're overcomers. We're blessed. Listen, it hasn't been that many years that people understood the revelation of the blessing. See, people think the blessing is when you pray over your dinner. Or, hachu, bless you. Right? You sneeze, someone says, bless you, bless you. But the blessing in here started in Genesis 1:26, when God blessed Adam, he conferred the empowerment to prosper on him. Blessing means empowered to prosper. And he said, I'm giving you this. This is an anointing for you to prosper. That hasn't even been in the earth that long. Not even 30 years. The anointed one and his anointing has only been in the earth for 40 years or so. Understanding these things, these revelations. But thank God they came. Thank God someone looked into the scripture, and we've had such good teachers that taught us the right things. You're blessed. The great commission in the earth came on Abraham. What did he say about him? He said, I'm putting the blessing on you so you can be a blessing. Yes. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Yes. What does that mean? It means you're a conduit. You're a pipeline. Yeah. You're not just blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. All the families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. Glory. Amen?
Yes.
That's the Great Commission. Listen, if Adam hadn't sinned, that would be our Great Commission. That's what we would be doing, is just passing the blessing. But since Jesus paid, the blessing is on you. Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law so that the blessing could come on you. Those of the faith of Abraham. You're of the faith of Abraham. The blessing came on you because Christ paid. What do you think that means? The blessing came on you to pray over lunch? The blessing is on you, Danny. The blessing. It's flowing. It's an anointing to draw what is right, what is real to you, the harvest to you. But you got to make sure you don't get any blessing blockers. And blessing blockers are real simple. Being offended and offending other people. Well, how would you offend other people? Well, you have a lot of liberty. You have a lot of liberty that some people don't have. You understand who you are. So you don't take your liberties and just flaunt them in front of everybody else so that they're offended. In Corinthians, Paul talked about eating meat. Now everybody in here is like, well, what's up with that? But back then it was a problem. Meat offered to idols and things like that. But he said, so don't do that in front of the brother that has trouble with it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you just watch your liberties. You have certain liberties. Everybody's built different. Everybody can, some things I do, you may not be able to do. Some things you do, I may not be able to do. It's just not, I don't believe God wants me to do that. Amen. That we make our own decision about that. We know what crosses the line for us. And just make sure you know what crosses the line for you and don't be doing it for everybody else. Now, amen. So, but just be void of offending other people. All right, we're going to finish up. You ready? All right. So, thank you, Lord. If you, let me go this trail as we're closing. When we possess head knowledge only, two things happen. Number one, you're easily susceptible to hype or emotionalism. Number two, you get bound by your intellect, by just what you know. Intellect is good, but spirit is better. You got to make sure that it's in subjection to what Holy Spirit and your spirit are telling you, mm-hmm. or you could get in trouble. And Jesus said his church was founded on the revealed word, not just, listen, memorize verses. So it's not, you can have in your intellect, you can quote Psalm 23 and and whatever else you can quote. But if it's just in your intellect, what I always say to you, you have to have fresh meat. You have to eat it again. You can't live off the memory of a baked potato. You have to eat the word. You have to eat the word constantly. You have to look at it, put your eyes on it, listen to it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, the illuminated word in our heart is the foundation Jesus said his church would be built on. Now, so, here's what we're doing. Can you see that your prosperity, your blessing, is not based on faith alone? It's major. But that offended heart doesn't receive. Okay? So just like you use your faith for finances to come in, or your healing to come in, you know, your finances, once you tithe and you give and you're expecting, because that's what you should do, absolutely, you use your faith to trust God for healing and to forgive. Forgive by faith, church. Let go of the offense by faith. You can do it, just like you sow by faith, you tithe by faith, you do whatever you do in life by faith. You just have faith in God. Amen. So clear your conscience. That's the pathway for everything you're faithing to come in. When you have a guilty conscience, the devil uses it. Well, you can't have that. Well, God won't heal you because you've been bad. He'll try to fight you with that. Well, you know, you don't deserve that. That's the reason why we want to get rid of it. You don't want to block. You don't want to be blocked. Well, you can't be a minister because you did this or you did that. See, that's just the enemy trying to block you. Now, you want to do what's right, do it right because it's right. But things happen and things have happened you come through that. You have to come through it so that you can clear the path so everything can get to you. I know this is blessing somebody. You have to come through this stuff. Amen. All right. So let me say this and we'll close. Since you don't do everything perfectly, none of us do, we have to understand that we build enough character to work through the hard parts. You hear me?
Yeah.
And let me explain that to you. It's like when you'd rather be mad than forgive. But you grit your teeth and you forgive. And you say, no, I'm forgiven. Okay, I'm not reacting, I'll respond. Amen. God will have your back on that. I've told you the story before. A young man stopped and just cussed me and Deb up and down out in the Chili's parking lot one time. And we just stood there and looked at him. You're this and you're that. And I thought, we didn't say a word. We just stood there. And then when he got done, we said, well, we bless you. We bless you. And to this day, I've never felt bad about that young man. He just didn't know. He had been fed information. And it was information that wasn't true. But he believed a lie. And I don't even know that I would recognize him if I saw him today. But I thought, he doesn't know. And, of course, I had a couple people backing me up that day. I won't tell about that. But I had one of my pastor friends was with me who decided to straighten him out, but I left that to them. We just walked away. So you'd rather be mad, but you forgive. Or like when you'd rather keep God's money than tithe. Oh, I just said that? Yeah, I did. Yeah. Or like when you should pray for your enemy. And you would say, yeah, I'm going to pray for my enemy, all right. Get him, God. No. You know you felt like that before. We all have. But you grit through it. You move through that. And you go, no. Lord, bless them. Yes. Lord, help them.
Yes.
I've been as guilty as they have. So help them, Lord.
Yeah.
Now, I know there are self-righteous people who go, well, I would never do that. Oh. Well, I've never done that. Well, I'm not. Get a life. You've done something. Well, first of all, if you're judging the person, you just did it. Ooh, that helps somebody today. All right. You have to get some grit, and you have to do it by faith. No, I will do this. No, I will make this decision. No, I'm not going to. Let's go back all the way to the first of what we started talking about. Well, not right now. Well, when? Well, not right now. I'll get around to it. There's a calling on your life. There's a calling on your life. Maybe later. Maybe later. Maybe I'll do this later. It's kind of like when you tell your kids to go clean up their room, and they say maybe later. There's a calling for it. Yeah. It's not maybe later. You don't tell your mama or daddy that. You go do it. Well, God's our Father. Do it. Do what he calls you to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Be willing and get up and do it. The faster you answer, the faster you're going to harvest. That's as fast as it's going to be. Be willing. We'll get to that. Listen, you can train to be that way. Train to be that way. I've heard the Lord say things to me, and I'm like, what? I don't want. Okay. I want to. Yeah, I want to. And I'm thinking, I want to. I want to, because you want me to, and then it turns out great. Turns out great, Jesse. Turns out great. You'll do it. You'll be all right. Y'all receive this today? Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Jesus. Get some grit. Because, church, it's right. It is absolutely righteous for God to avenge his people. It is unrighteous for his servants to avenge themselves. So leave that behind. Brothers, do not avenge yourselves. So hold fast to faith. Hold fast to a good conscience. Get rid of that guilty conscience, because it'll try to drive you nuts, especially if you've been in a lot of religion, you've suffered that. Or perhaps you had a mama like that who made you feel guilty all the time. Or maybe somebody around you makes you feel guilty. But that's something you can just get rid of. God knows what you did. He knows when you did it. Run to him. Because he'll set you free every time. This is just everyday stuff. When you mess up, the blood will cover you. The blood will wash you clean. And, I would just say make sure you humble yourself under the blood and flow in it. Have a clear conscience. You can live having a clear conscience. The day I meet Jesus, I want to be able to say, I did what you wanted me to do. I did what you wanted me to do, Lord. The best that I knew how. The Bible says over in Isaiah, it says, I have blotted out all your transgressions. He said that in the Old Testament, getting ready for the New Testament. He's blotted out all your stuff already. And then in the next line, he says, write on this. So it's like he has this big whiteboard. And he said, I've wiped everything clean. Now you write up there what you want me to think about you. That's what the word actually says. So I always just write on the board, Lord, I'm your faithful daughter who'll do anything that I understand that you've called me to do. If I didn't understand it, please tell it to me again. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. We're faith people. We believe God, and we believe we're victorious. And this just helps you to, if you have a clear conscience, just trust God for it. This is not hard. This is not legalism. Just believe God. Everything that God tells you to do, just take one step. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Just take one step. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just do one thing. And listen, if you get stuck, I can give you real easy advice. Go back and ask the Lord to remind you the last thing he told you to do. And do it. You'll get unstuck. Always hear God, say yes, start down your path, then don't consult flesh and blood anymore once you know what he wants you to do, and just get it done at all cost. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. It's that simple. Lord, we praise you and give you glory today. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Father, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for the flow of the Spirit. We thank you for signs and wonders and miracles in Jesus' name. Father, we just remove all blessing blockers. We just declare everyone's conscience in the room is clear of false guilt and guilt in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we do not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but we do know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You called us that. It's a free gift. And so we stand in that place knowing that we can walk right up to the mercy seat. We can come right into the courts of heaven. And I command a crop failure over every negative word that has been spoken through anyone in this house. I say they have a clean slate, and that today they step out on the favor of God and watch favor move them into new places in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. You got something? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 There's an increase of your witness coming on you. More than you expected. An anointing on your life. More than you expected at this time in your life. You are being promoted in the spirit realm. God's got his eye on you. God has his calling on you. And you're anointed to go forth in it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for everything she needs in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just see one word. Good times. Good times. Good times. Really good times. Just hang on to that. These are the good days. These are the really good days. Thank you, Lord. I see you separated and running ahead. Just separated and running ahead quickly. Just running forward as fast as you can. God's got it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Church, you cannot be defeated if you will not quit. If you do not quit, if you keep going, you will make it. Amen? Thank you for it, Lord. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great day.